It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Danny and Dusty.
My Uncle Gus is the uncle that liked to work the grill. As soon as you walk in the house, it's like, get away from that grill. You don't know how to start no fire.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
We're going to eat a hamburger, okay? Here we go. Chandler, throw the match. Now that's a fire.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm not cooking a brontosaurus burger.
The Fan.
Adam McCree here on Danny and Dusty. Are you listening on 1080 AM? Watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fam. Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fam. We appreciate you. We love you. Thanking you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. The doom and gloom of the worst weather known to man has truly hit us, which means basketball is in the swing of things, baseball is wrapping up, and football is gearing up. And boy, is the stupid hitting in waves. Jameson Williams, wide receiver for the Detroit Lions, who has been tremendous, also tremendously dumb. He's been popped for banned substances, not PEDs, which has yet to been revealed, what it was that he was tested positive for. But a bigger story is currently brewing. The week before he tested positive, he got pulled over in the passenger seat of his brother's car.
Oh, boy.
Now, his brother was pulled over for speeding, and he has a conceal and carry permit, and he had his firearm on him. Jameson Williams also owns a firearm, and it is registered to him, but it was in the car under his seat. He does not have a CCL.
Oh.
Now,
that's not good.
He was eventually let go. However, he should not have been. I don't know how it transpired or how they got a hold of it, but WXYZ in Detroit, the ABC affiliate, did some investigative reporting, and they got the body cam footage that has also the audio. The two officers originally on the scene who pulled him over, the brother originally tried to say it was his, and Jameson finally admitted that it was his. He tells the cop repeatedly, bro, I play for the Detroit Lions, as if that matters.
Oh, no.
He went full Clint Woods. He also...
Here's my rookie card.
Yeah. Neither of the officers appear to be giving him any preferential treatment because he's a Detroit Lion, he's famous, all those kind of things. But because he did say this, a senior officer, a sergeant, is called on scene. And this is not unusual. For those that don't know, if somebody of his high profile is pulled over, they want to make sure they bring somebody in, dot every I, cross every T, because the media is going to get a hold of it. And if you screw something up, it's going to make things infinitely worse. So Sergeant Snuffleupagus shows up, and the body cam picks up his cell phone that he has in his hand with the Detroit Lions logo as the background. He tells both the cops, like, jokingly, I'm so angry at both of you. And he's very aware of who Jameson Williams is. He starts making calls to higher-ups in the Detroit Police Department, lieutenants and captains, and it appears that he is going to be booked for illegally possessing a firearm. Then he gets a phone call from another lieutenant who tells him, well, you can't hear the conversation, but the outcome of what the sergeant says is, so we're good to let him go? Awesome. Thank you. And then they proceed to let Jameson Williams go.
Oh, boy.
Yes. And now...
Oh, boy.
Now the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office is reviewing a warrant request for the arrest of wide receiver Jameson Williams on a concealed weapon charge.
Brutal. So how did this come out then?
WXYZ, it said the warrant request was made after an internal affairs investigation was opened after WXYZ-TV asked the police department why Williams wasn't taken into custody. How they found out about him being pulled over, I would imagine, is sourcing. Somebody somewhere said, yeah, Jameson got pulled over and it just he had a gun and didn't make it out.
Well,
and
obviously a lot of people were called on this, and most of them were not aware or not wanting to let him go. And then it kept going up the ladder. And finally somebody said, no, we're just going to let him go. Oh, this is a brutal look.
Which does, for those that are unaware, it does happen.
Yeah, well,
see, the University of Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, most professional sports teams, most college sports teams.
I'm just saying just in general reference of what has transpired lately.
Bins all the time.
What happens if happen is some chief, some captain makes a phone call to coach or the AD, because there's a direct line there.
Yep.
And they go, hey, pulled one of your dumbass kids over doing 90 in a 45. Here's what he was doing. Here's how he was doing it. We let him go this one time. Him or anybody else does this again, they're spending the night in jail.
Crazy.
You know, that's the kind of situation.
Well, in this, like the sliding scale of how good you are to how many dumb mistakes you can make. And now you have to ask the question about Jameson Williams. Like, how many things are going to happen to where they're like, okay, and enough is enough? Because we have the gambling thing. We have the PEDs. We have the weapon. It's piling up pretty quickly for Jameson Williams.
Yeah, and the thing is, I want to point this out because it does matter. The firearm was legally purchased and registered to him. He just does not have a conceal and carry permit. Which,
but depending on which... You know that.
Yes, depending on which states you're in. I've said this before. I am a pro Second Amendment individual. I have multiple firearms.
Yep.
I have probably more experience with firearms than collectively hundreds of thousands of people. If you are a professional athlete, I don't understand how a league does not help you get it. Like, why they don't themselves, like, hey, if you're not going to hire security, if you are going to carry a firearm, here's how you get it. Like, the same way they make, you know, Uber and Lyft rides available for athletes who there's a number you can call at any time and you don't have to drive home. Set the same thing up for conceal and carry. Like, if you want to go through the class, you want to go through the training, here are the organizations we have vetted and work with directly. If you want to do it, here's how you do it.
Yep.
Because there is no reason why, if you meet the criteria and you go through requisite training, why you shouldn't have one.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
Concealed carry permit, not a firearm. I'm saying, if this is something you actively want to do, which I've heard so many stories about so many players that I in multiple sports where I went, they're pro firearm,
I'll be darned.
No, I'm not talking about the Chris Kaman types who, you know, are out there hunting all the time. Those guys are, you know, everywhere. But yeah, I mean, they look no further than Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah.
You know, guys feel like that's how they want to take care of things. They're not going to have security. So Jameson Williams did half of it, but he didn't do the other half of this. And I'm not sure what the warrant would carry with the charge. I don't know in Detroit or in Michigan if that charge is a Class A misdemeanor or if it rolls over to a Class C felony. I'm not familiar with Michigan law there, but this feels like the kind of thing, when matched with the banned substances, Dusty, that could turn into hitting the commissioner's exempt list pretty damn quick.
Not great, Bob. Not great. Well, I don't know if he gets the commissioner's exempt because of the combine, but ongoing criminal investigations, yeah, that's usually where you hit the commissioner's exempt list, which is not good, and it's usually recommended by the team, and I don't know. The Lions may just be in a situation where
they're backing him here.
We're gonna be okay with his dumb because he's not hurting anybody. He didn't hurt anybody.
No.
And, you know, he's gonna have to come the repercussions he'll have to deal with on his own. but he's really valuable to us. And that's the reality of it.
It
the
is.
Lions aren't going to do anything as long as he's very valuable to them, and he is.
And the direct quote from Dan Campbell, "For me, I judge people over what's in their hearts. I know what this kid's made of. He's worth hanging with, so he's going to learn from this. He's going to grow, and he'll be better for all of this."
Yeah. I mean, it's just got to be, he's got to get the stupid out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's got to cut that crap out because it's going to catch up with him on the field eventually. Because, again, this is the third one. You have the gambling, the performance-enhancing substance, and now this. Like, it's a whole lot of dumb mistakes in 1 year for one guy.
Yes.
Damn.
I mean, not only that, it's a lot of times of getting caught, which means more than likely there's a lot more dumb out there that he's not getting caught for.
Well, you ain't lying there.
And I mean, you hate to make the insinuation, but when have you not seen that be the case?
Never.
No, it was really just those three times.
No, never.
So,
never, ever, ever.
Yeah, I mean, it becomes, situation where you look at everything that's involved there, and this sounds terrible because it always boils back to the football, but you have to wonder if this stuff ultimately ever ends up becoming a legitimate distraction for the Lions.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
You think because, they're tougher than that?
Well, I just think that these sorts of things are easy to just be like, well, whatever, it doesn't affect us on the field, so adios. When it starts really tangibly hurting them, then it does, right? Then they'll say, like, if they lose a game because, I don't know, Amon-Ra St. Brown gets hurt while Jameson Williams is suspended and they are depleted at wide receiver and they can't move the ball and Jared Goff has nobody to throw to, yeah, then guys are going to be like, hey, your stupidity is getting in the way of us winning. When Jameson Williams' actions start taking out of other guys' pocketbooks is when they're going to start caring.
Mildly problematic.
Yep.
Speaking of mildly problematic, I think that's the way you can sum up the Indianapolis Colts right now, where they are not only changing their quarterback, they appear to be sending a message to their top quarterback prospect in Anthony Richardson. We'll get to that in more coming up here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Shane Steichen and the Indianapolis Colts are doubling down, as it were, on Joe Flacco as their starting quarterback. Not just for now, but going forward. They, for some reason, decided to take the podium and state very clearly that they would not be going back to Anthony Richardson. And that this was a move for the immediacy, and they would judge it in the future. In the same breath, they also seem to keep pointing out that Anthony Richardson checking himself out of a game for a play had no factor in this, in which I'm going to go ahead and say bull bleep. I think Anthony Richardson entirely and completely, totally lost the locker room in a way we've never seen a young quarterback do it. And it's going to take Anthony Richardson ripping the job away from Joe Flacco.
Or Joe Flacco's body breaking down.
But do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think they're saying, we're going to make you earn it. We gave you the opportunity because you were the guy we invested in with a high pick as a young player go out there. And you were okay, but you got injured. And then you did something that's going to require you to make it. You're going to have to figure this out. You need to work.
No doubt about it. I hate all of this for Anthony Richardson.
It sucks.
I said this yesterday. They knew that they drafted a project. They got their project, and they're saying, not too much, right? And this is like akin to, you know, you buy a house, you say, I'm gonna do a lot of this DIY stuff, and then you realize, oh boy, we're in too deep. I can't do this all on my own. So then you go and you hire somebody else to do a little bit of that work for you. That's exactly what the Colts are doing right now. But with the Indianapolis Colts, it's like they could reap the rewards of developing and letting Anthony Richardson grow if they wanted to, right? But just like me, when I was resanding and refinishing my hardwood floors, I got to the point where I said, I'm going to screw this up. And I feel like that's where they are with Anthony Richardson. And they're not that far off, but I feel like they feel they're going to screw up the development of Anthony Richardson. And they're saying, in doing that, it screws our chances of being a competitive team, being a playoff team, and winning playoff football games. Because do you watch Anthony Richardson and think that's a guy who can win a playoff game?
No.
And this is where you can screw up your entire culture, your locker room, and you want to see guys really go and say, we're out on Anthony Richardson. Have a roster that is ready to win a playoff game. Roll them out there with a quarterback that is not as good as his backup and say, all right, now we're going to take money out of your pocket. Because that's where you absolutely lose everybody in Indy, right? And this is where I think the Colts are, they're in a really tough spot. They've done a disservice to Anthony Richardson by not allowing him to play or playing him too soon and before he was ready.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really have. I mean, the disservice may be knowing what you had in Anthony Richardson and bringing in Joe Flacco, which on the surface seems like a good idea, but
he's still too good.
Everybody knew. There's a clip from Kirk Herbstreit in August that's circulating when he was doing a preseason game saying Joe Flacco is better than Anthony Richardson, or Anthony Richardson better be looking over his shoulder. Like, everybody knew it. Everybody knew it. Joe Flacco was the disgraceful comeback player of the year. Asterisk there.
So not, good that they had
not
to
anything
change
he
the
did
rule.
To be disgraceful. But DeMar Hamlin should have been comeback player of the year. We all know it. I'm gonna die on that hill. I will die on that hill. But they did a disservice to Anthony Richardson by bringing in a backup who was better than him. And when that happens, you know that this is going to be the case.
Short-lived.
I think that him pulling himself out of the game, I don't think it is the reason, but I think it's
excuse.
The excuse that they can use.
Yeah.
And they're not using it as they're not leaning on it and saying that's it, but public perception turned on Anthony Richardson enough to where
in that moment
they can pull the hook on him and say, ah, you know what? Fans aren't going to get mad now.
The other part of this is, and I think this is where the grander scheme discussion goes, and I believe this to be true in the NBA as well as the NFL. And there's Mike Richmond, Locked On Blazers, asked Chauncey Billups first Pelicans game about having, you know, sage old vets and the age of the NBA. In that it's in what Chauncey thought, and Chauncey said, I'm not sure of the numbers, but it feels a lot younger. In 2023, the league was made up of, I want to remember, 30% players that were 30 or older, or 10 years of action or older. That number has dropped to 21%. That's a pretty staggering difference in 2 years, right?
Holy smokes.
Okay. And you can feel it. The league is younger. And I think you're seeing the same thing in the NFL. Now, it's going to be interesting to see how different that looks over the next couple of years as NIL continues to take hold and players develop. But I've seen multiple different aspects of this as it pertains to both NBA and NFL. I want to give credit where it's due, but I remember a report yesterday saying that NFL executives and scouts are telling quarterbacks specifically, spend 2 years starting in college. Otherwise, you will get to the NFL and you won't make it.
I think that everybody wants rail against NIL. NIL is great for this. NIL is mm-hmm. great for guys like Anthony Richardson not having to jump to the NFL before they are ready.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, actually being able to get the bag in NIL. Anthony Richardson is going to be the cautionary tale in that he could have stayed at Florida, could have gotten NIL, could have been okay, and could have developed more, but he went to the league. And look at the guys that are successful, right? The guys who are coming out and playing well as rookies, like Caleb Williams. He was a 3-year starter in college football, right? 3-year starter, Heisman Trophy winner, nothing left to prove. Jaden Daniels, 4. Bo Nix, 5, right? I look at these guys that are having, they have a wealth of experience behind them. And they're thriving in the first year.
And the NFL is, and the reason why that the Colts are switching to Joe Flacco is because of the imminent pressure of the NFL. Mm-hmm. You are not allowed to have long runways in the NFL because every game matters so much more because there's so much less of them. And because of that, it's every single year, even if you know, like, very simple example, even if you know your team is going to suck, see Panthers of Carolina, they're still making quarterback changes because their owner wants to win. And everybody wants to win. And this whole idea of like having a plan and sticking to it and allowing things to develop is just not something many organizations are set up to do because their owners and front offices are either not on the same page, they've not been able to communicate it. Hell, look at the Atlanta Falcons when they drafted Michael Penix. The heated argument between the front office and ownership.
Yep.
Of like, what the hell are you doing? We just gave Kirk Cousins $100+ million guaranteed.
Yep.
And so you see this, like, the NFL, I think, is slowly going.
They had no other holes to fill.
Right? But I think you're getting to a point where there has to be an understanding. And if you're going to take a quarterback that is this young, did he turn 21 yet? Because he came
into
the league at 19.
I think he is 20.
Because, I mean, he's one of, if not the youngest quarterbacks. Oh, no, he is 22 now. He turned 22 in May.
He's 22?
Yeah. I thought he came into the league at 19. Maybe he was coming into the draft at a month before at 19. But, yeah, it's crazy to see the expectation of young quarterbacks and asking them to develop, but also expecting them to win. It's like you go back to Peyton Manning. I know that's the one everybody points to because that's the Hall of Famer that was successful after having a bad year. But Josh Allen's also another one of those. Like, most guys aren't good. Like, most guys aren't C.J. Stroud. Most guys aren't Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
And yet the expectation, because those guys exist, is that, oh, this guy's a bum. We need to get him out of here because we need to win now.
Well, and look, there's a reason why the New England Patriots drafted Drake May with the idea that they wanted to shove him on the bench. They just couldn't any longer, right? It was because he only started 2 years, right? Mitch Trubisky and Anthony Richardson, parallels, dude. Not a lot of tape, didn't start a lot of games in college, got drafted due to their tangibles and their measurables. Well, experience matters, especially at the quarterback position. Quarterback is the one position where the more snaps you play, the better off you're going to be. And I mean, Jaden Daniels played so much damn football in college, it was ridiculous. I think people forget, like, Jaden Daniels played so many damn games between Arizona State and LSU. It wasn't like he was just came out of nowhere. The dude, I'm looking at his stats right now, and Jaden Daniels, he played 55 games in college.
Is that a lot?
He attempted damn near 1,000 passes, or 1,400 passes. He damn near completed 1,000. He was 953 of 1,438 in college. That is a far cry than what Anthony Richardson, what he had in college. Let me look up his college stats. All right, Anthony Richardson. All right, so 1,438 attempts for Jaden Daniels, 393 for Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, I mean, that's the difference between the two is staggering.
I mean, that is so in 24 games to 55 games. I mean, that is a massive difference.
He literally got him doubled up in experience.
In everything. And it looks like it. It looks like it out of the gate. Experience matters so much. And look, Anthony Richardson being too honest with the media, that is going to be a ripple effect that's going to last with him for a really long time. I know
Belichick from now on.
But you know what? Guys like Brian Flores goes, you see that guy the sixth place prior? Like, he was running around. He had 300-pounders on his back. Like, mm-hmm. I'd be tired, too. Well,
just don't say it publicly.
Don't say it publicly.
All right, coming up next, the Portland Trailblazers take on the Los Angeles Clippers, as Jeff Russell says, that they are going to get into it at the Intuit Dome.
That's a good one, isn't it?
I like that one. It's very punny. They're going to take on the Clippers tonight at 7:30. We'll talk a little bit about that game, but also going to dive into this rookie class. Tom Haberstroh, who's featured on the Trailblazers broadcast as the analyst, the advanced statistics analyst, had an article published on Yahoo that talks about just how god-awful this rookie class is and how it stacks up all time. We'll get into that more. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
Your Portland Trailblazers take on the Los Angeles Clippers tonight in the Intuit Dome. It'll be their first foray into the NBA's newest building, where they will face, at least for one half of basketball, the Wall, the new fan-centric zone built by or designed by Steve Ballmer.
It's the coolest damn thing in sports right now.
I'm trying to figure it out here. It's spitballing on air, but they have to figure it out. It bothered one of the best shooters of all time in Kevin Durant and the Phoenix Suns. It took them a little while to get used to. I think it's the exact opposite situation as you saw in the bubble, where the static black background and the consistent depth that the bubble provided led to a shooting surge heretofore not seen for a lot of players in the NBA. This is up there with one of the most distracting and disruptive backgrounds and backdrops that you can have on the court in the NBA. And I think this is going to be a fun, interesting little thing. And I'm really, really interested in talking to the guys after the game and see what they think. And how it impacts them. As it sits right now, the Clippers are currently 7.5-point favorites, a significantly smaller line than the Sacramento Kings at 12.5 points. So the Clippers are a team that they don't make a lot of sense. Kawhi Leonard not playing. They are led offensively by James Harden and Norman Powell. Norman, 22 points.
Hey.
In the fourth quarter of the night.
Where was that Norman? Portland.
He played well here, but
he played well. Yeah.
But he was also being forced to play small forward because Neil Olshake doesn't know how to build a roster, who instead wanted to put a 6'4" guy at the three alongside a 6'3" guy alongside a 6'2" guy.
How many wins did they project? It was about roster construction.
Yeah, no. One of my favorite Chauncey Billups lines of all time was where he basically said, screw it, I'm just going to play him. And he was talking about all the guys under 6'4". He's like,
roll out five guys with nobody taller than 6'6".
He literally played a Dame CJ Ant Norm lineup where he was like, screw it, you're not going to give me size.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw my four best shooters and creators on the floor and see what the hell happens. Now, they got pummeled, but I understood what they were trying to do. It's like you're zigging when your only option, zag's not on the table, so you zig. Portland Trailblazers have one win on the season. I would expect them to. This is probably going to be a competitive game. I don't think they're going to win, but I feel like this is a strong cover opportunity. They take on the Oklahoma City Thunder back home in Portland on Friday for a one-game homestand before they go out on the road. The Blazers are going to play 7 games in 7 different cities.
Oh.
In a row.
Whoa.
Yeah. Because they come home for that one game. So they have the 2 road games, the Sacramento, LA, come home for 1, go out for 4.
Well,
very unique situation.
No scheduling breaks. What is the update on Robert Williams? Do we have an update on Robert Williams anytime soon?
Yeah, I would expect today was probably the first chance he had to come back. And I have not heard that he is going to. I have not heard that he is going to try to give it a run tonight. I think if they're going to try to play him, they would like to do it at home.
I think the last I saw, he's officially back tonight.
Yes.
But after yesterday being a game-time decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ramp him up back at home is kind of
That's typically what they like to do. Yeah. So if there is an opportunity, I think you're looking at Fred Friday at home against Oklahoma City.
And to be quite honest, it's better that way in case anything does happen, then he's close to home.
You've got all your doctors all your everything, equipment. You know, you're very familiar with everything there. But that's where the Trailblazers stand. And the Trailblazers have Donovan Clingan, who is a rookie, and Tom Haberstroh.
So good. I love Donovan Clingan already.
He's been very good. In fact, you might be able to argue that he has been the best rookie in this class. Now, that is said with an asterisk. Why? Because this rookie class has been horrendous. Now, we talked about this draft class leading into this draft and how underwhelming it could be and how many projects there were and how there weren't a lot of guys with top-end talent and things of that nature. Like, Donovan Clingan, as good as he has been and as enjoyable as he has been, do you know what he is currently averaging, his actual production, Dusty?
Well, hold on. Like, are you talking about...
Per game.
Not per 36 or anything like that?
No, just per game.
I know minutes-wise, it's like 12 minutes a game.
13 on the dot.
Okay. 13 minutes. Oh, I was going to go 6. Yeah. I was going to go 6 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 block shots.
4.3 points, 5.8 rebounds, 2 blocks.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Sounds about right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 4, 6,
I was trying
to
give him a basket.
Yeah.
Trying to give him a basket.
He's shooting just under 64% because, you know, dunks are good. Mm-hmm. His per 36 numbers, 12 points, 16 rebounds, 5.5 blocks.
I think we would take that.
Great. The issue is, if you go through and look at all of the rookies in this class.
That's a stupid thing that you just said. Like, not what you said, but just to think about how ridiculous that stat line would be. His per 36.
No. 12, 16, and 6. Like, wait, I'm sorry, what? Through the opening 3 games across the NBA for every team, not a single rookie has registered 15 points. Not one. It is the first time in NBA history.
Wow.
Last year you had 8, the year before that 12, the year before that 11, the year before that 7, and the 3 years before that 12, 13, and 12. So 2014-15, you had 1. But, I mean, this is just not something that happens. Bob Carrington, I believe he's the highest scorer right now, has 13 in a game. 13.
That's your high for a rookie.
Washington Wizards, Bob Carrington.
Yikes.
Okay. Now, you also have players that teams traded real capital for, see the Minnesota Timberwolves, to move up and grab Rob Dillingham. He has not played for the Timberwolves. Reed Sheppard, who a lot of people picked as their rookie of the year, I mean, my pushback on it has always been Ime Udoka doesn't like kids. He doesn't play kids. If you give him veterans, he's going to play the veterans. Why? Because he's a coach who's been to the NBA Finals and knows that kids aren't good.
Ime hate the kids.
And it was like, Terry Stotts hated rookies. No, he hated playing bad players. Rookies are bad. Veteran coaches don't like playing rookies.
Oh, you mean bad players drafted by a certain former general manager?
No, just in general. Like,
he made so many great choices, though.
Look, the only rookies who, like, get real burn, Wemby, LeBron, like, Zion. Like, if you're a generational prospect, you get burned. And even then, if you go look at, like, all the advanced stats, all of the analytics, the amount that they impact winning, despite some of the box score stuff, because their efficiency is usually so bad, it's a negative. Like, go look at rookie year LeBron and look at all of the output, and you're like, oh my God, that is insane. And then you look at the efficiency and you go, oh my God, that's insane.
That's even more crazy.
It's like, that's not supposed to happen, but it does. The guy that I had for my rookie of the year, Zach Edey, he has more fouls, 15, than he does field goal attempts. He's only averaging 16 minutes a game, the lowest of any starter in the league. He is getting the Noah Vonleh memorial treatment, where Noah Vonleh, if you remember when he was a Trailblazer, started at the 4 in the first quarter, started at the 4 in the third quarter, and in those 2 shifts, he played 7 minutes and never touched the floor again.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, Zach Edey, and like Big Ten basketball fans, if you look up Zach Edey on Twitter, they are just screaming from the rooftops, this is what it should have been like in college too. Because every Big Ten fan just said he fouls every single play.
Yeah.
And they never called it. And now in the NBA, they're like, yeah, dude, you can't just bowl into people. You have got to be savvy with the way that you go ahead and throw people around.
Which,
right?
Which actually makes Donovan Clingan a bit more impressive, because he has been avoiding fouls while being a very large man.
It does. It makes it, well, and he's not getting very many minutes, so it'd be really hard.
No. Speaking of minutes, this rookie class also has yet to have a single player register 30 minutes or more played in the game.
Whoa!
Last night, Cody Williams of the Utah Jazz logged 29 minutes and 58 seconds. He is the first player, and the Jazz are in their fourth game, so this is only the first three, to come close to touching it, to touching that 30-minute threshold.
Wow.
And if you go back in recent history, the last couple of years, 9, 11, 19, 7, 16, 10, and 15. This class has zero.
Whoa.
That truly puts in and paints in perspective just how bad this class is.
What did Cody Williams shoot last night against the old... He was 3 of 7. Yeah, he had 9 points.
I would say he was like 2 of 6 when I looked. So, yeah.
Whoa.
And he's going to have more opportunity now, probably with, unfortunately, Taylor Hendricks out for a very, very, very long time with a dislocated ankle and a fractured fibula.
Still haven't seen it.
Yeah. Avoid.
Very happy about that.
And I won't. I will not seek out that video.
Avoid at all cost.
Yep.
It's tough. Yeah,
I don't want to have anything to do with that.
Yeah. So it's... It's an interesting spot for everything to kind of be in this rookie class. It doesn't mean it's redemptive. It doesn't mean like some guys won't figure it out. It doesn't mean like Bob Carrington's a bust. It's just this class right now, it is very much what we thought it was. It's project-based. And there's going to be a player here or there, Ryan Dunn, who's down in Phoenix, who couldn't shoot in college. I think he hit 12 total threes in college, and that was the knock on him. Best defender in college, can't shoot to save his life, wouldn't shoot to save his life. Now he's hitting threes in the NBA, and he could end up being a very impactful 3-and-D guy. So yep. there's some weird anomalies that are kind of popping up here or there. But I think this is going to be an interesting thing to track throughout the rest of the season. And also, maybe get people to chill ever so slightly on Donovan Clingan getting 30 minutes a game.
Yep.
Stop asking me that. It's not happening.
I don't want him to get... I don't think he needs 30, but I would like to see it tick up closer to 20.
I would like to see him be capable of
more than 13.
I would like to see him be capable of playing 20.
He played 20 at college. That's half a game.
You know what? I'm actually...
Very different.
I'm just fine right now with him playing exactly what he is, because whatever we see the best of Donovan Clingan is... exactly what Blazer fans should want. And right now you're getting the best of him, and he's doing it in spurts. That is fine. His growth is not being stunted, and this team is not in win now mode. So I'm totally okay with what we see from him. We'll see it later on in the season. I mean, they've only played a handful of games, but I understand the frustrations. Everybody wants to see the new toy out there.
Oh, look, new shiny, always great. Yeah. Always great.
And this is supposed to be a down year, and in my opinion, supposed to be a down year. Let the young guys run.
Yeah, there's plenty of time for that. 82-game season, and, you know, he'll get his.
It is.
Jeff, if you play him too much, they're going to win games.
Here's the crazy thing. Like, if I just sort, If I just sort the top scores in this rookie class right now, Bob Carrington's at 8.7, Jamal Shedd at 8.5, Eve Missy at 8.5, Jalen Wells at 8, Jameson Battle at 7.8, Ryan Dunn and Zach Edey at 7.8. Zachary Richey, who was the number one overall pick, was at 7.3, and the number two overall pick, Alex Saar, at 7. Like, that's the insane thing, is you've got 3 lottery picks in the top 10 in scoring. 3 lottery picks in the top 10 in rookie class scoring. That's a pretty low bar
to clear, too.
Yes. Donovan Clingan currently second in rebounding. Saar is averaging 6.7. Donovan Clingan at 5.8. Decent class for shot blocking. Eze Missy, Alex Saar, Donovan Clingan. 2.3, 2.0, 2.0. Not a bad place to be.
Not bad at all.
So, all right, that's our basketball stuff for now. We'll have a little bit more here real quick. But after this, we'll put a nice little bow on today's show before we hand you off to Isaac Suk here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan. Our long national nightmare is over. I saved this one for you guys.
Oh, what do we got?
Thanks to the Copyright Office, McDonald's franchisees now have the right to repair their own ice cream machines. In March, the FTC filed a comment in support of this change. We'll keep using our tools to protect the people's right to repair. If you're ever wondering why the McFlurry is always down, it's because there's a part in that machine that the original builder of it says nobody else is allowed to touch, kind of a deal. And they had to use this exact company to repair this machine. So anytime they went down, they had to contact them. They didn't have the capacity to fill it. It was basically a scam.
I read something that said basically if you're at a McDonald's and their McFlurry and ice cream machine is down often, that means it's one that actually tries to maintain it. Mm-hmm. And if there's one that doesn't ever have that thing shut down, they don't try to maintain it and they don't give an S.
There you go. But they now have the capacity to repair on their own, which means that McDonald's will be able to build the widget, as it were, at their headquarters to replace it.
My.
I mean, if they could get with Coca-Cola to formulate their own formula for the delicious McDonald's Coca-Cola, why can't they do that with the McFlurry machine?
You'd think that they would have tried to find a way, but the McFlurry people are apparently more difficult to deal with.
Yeah, watch out for those McFlurry people.
Right?
It's a racket. All right, that'll do it for us today. Tomorrow, you got Big Will Betts and Danny.
Indeed.
Is that who it is?
Tomorrow and Friday.
And Friday.
Double dip of Danny and Will while you're out in the sweet swagginess of Ann Arbor.
Yeah, I'll be taking in the fall scenes of Ann Arbor, Michigan. All right, I will see you guys on Monday. I'll be back on these airwaves come Saturday when the Oregon Ducks take on the Michigan Wolverines. Up next, it's 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac and Souk. Have a great Wednesday, everybody.
Bye.
Let it rain. Rain dance.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app